Well, praise our God. I'm so thankful again to be here tonight. Again, the privileges that the Lord has given us, and we are so blessed. We have a wonderful hope within our earthen vessel here, and it's wonderful to have that hope of seeing the King. You know, it's going to be pretty soon. Praise our God, and we have all those reassurances. We know this. I'm so glad we can rejoice in our God. Amen. So glad that we could be here. Praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we could gather here. We thank you for this privilege, oh God, this privilege to present your word, this precious word that you've given us, Lord. Oh, that word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Oh God, that word that guides us, that leads us, that shows us the way. Oh God, that gives us, oh Lord, these words of encouragement. Oh God, we could do nothing, oh Lord, except that thou would help us. That thou would lead us, and oh God, we thank you for the precious treasure of thy word, and oh God, what thou hast given us to retain, oh God, to put in our hearts, oh God, to hold precious. Now I pray, oh God, that you would encourage us here tonight. I pray that you would strengthen, Lord Jesus. Oh God, you know, oh God, that we are but dust. And oh God, we have trouble, we have tribulation. Oh God, we do fight battles. But I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to be overcomers. Oh God, strengthen us, Lord. Oh God, for all those that wear that crown will be overcomers. And I pray, oh God, that you talk to us here tonight. Oh God, I pray for those, oh God, that, oh God, need a lift from thee right now. Oh God, a special reason, Lord, to, oh God, have a problem, Lord. And oh God, I just pray, oh Lord, that you would intervene, Lord. We do bring Mackenzie before thee and ask, oh Lord, that you continue to touch her, that you continue to lift her up, that you continue to give her hope, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that there would be just great rejoicing, Lord, for thou hast the answer and thou makest it to come to pass, oh Lord. And God, I do bring the priest family before thee and ask, oh Lord, that you would help them, oh Lord, through these setbacks, that everything would be taken care of, that these trees would not fall and cause damage, oh God, but if they would fall, that it would be, you know, in a way to, oh God, to exalt thee, Lord, oh God, beyond our comprehension, Lord. And oh God, you know everything. I pray that you keep them from harm, from danger, from neighbors. Oh God, that, oh God, know not thee. And oh God, have motives and plans that may be contrary, Lord. But oh God, thou art with your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd answer every prayer, Lord. Oh God, that you'd answer every need, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that you take care of the water, oh Lord, that, oh God, happened, oh Lord, from the Breeses' home, oh God, when the pipe broke, oh Lord Jesus, or the whatever, God, came to pass there, Lord. Oh God, take care of it, Lord Jesus. Every need we bring before thee, Lord. God, I pray, oh God, that you'd help Rob and Tori too, Lord. And oh God, I pray that those neighbors that are also giving them problems, oh God, would not be able to prevail, Lord. We just come against, oh Lord, oh God, those goings on too, Lord. Ask, Lord, oh God, that thy will would be done, Lord. And oh God, that the enemy would not prevail, Lord. But oh God, that you take care of it. Oh God, for thou art so able, Lord. Thou art so compassionate. Thou knowest every need, Lord. You know the needs of your people, Lord. And oh God, we believe you, God. I pray that you'd help Wild to be able to raise her arm, oh Lord. And oh God, to be healed, oh Lord, that you would take care of this infirmity. Oh God, that you give her strength and oh God, the means that she needs. Oh God, for you know every need. Oh God, of your children. Oh God, I know, oh God, all of us have problems and setbacks and circumstances. And oh God, I pray that you would reach out to touch all these needs, God, more than we could ever name or remember. But oh God, thou knowest them. And oh God, I pray that you would touch here tonight. I pray that your word, oh God, would go forth as thou hast ordained. Oh God, that it would strengthen thy people and help us, God, to have faith, oh God, in the midst of night. light in the midst of darkness. Oh God, in the midst of tribulation, God, give us faith, O Lord, to overcome. Oh God, to be victorious, O Lord. Oh God, to be strengthened by thy word. I pray that you'd work here tonight in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, touch our hearts, move in our lives, change us, give us, O Lord, that strength that comes from thy Spirit. O God, move in your people, Lord. O God, for I know, O God, there are many needs out there. But, O God, I believe in you, Jesus. I'm praying, O Lord, and believe in you, God. O God, you know how to answer. You know how to intervene. O God, you know how to lift us up. O God, you know how to give us joy and peace. Oh God, and oh Lord, you know how to quiet our spirits. Oh God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would work. Oh God, give us peace in the midst of the storm and help us here tonight. Oh God, let thy word go forth. Oh God, I give it to thee and ask in the name of Jesus. There be no interference, oh Lord, that you bring it forth as thou would ordain. Oh God, that you use me, Lord. Oh God, I give this to you, Lord. Ask, oh Lord, for your help in the mighty name of Jesus. By the power and the blood, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, praise your holy name. Thou, oh God, are great and greatly to be praised. And we do worship you, Lord. We do praise you, Lord. Oh God, we do come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise our great and wonderful God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. These are really moments unlike any that we've known. And I know, truly, I don't know. I know we've heard talk about possible blackouts. We've heard talk about martial law. And, you know, we know that there is a great division in this land. There is great trouble. And oh my, there are many people that are upset in great ways. And only God knows. But oh, praise the Lord. I am so thankful that we can put all things into the hands of our saving God. And with his help, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. More than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, What is Man? Amen. And as we begin, we're going to read of the greatness of God. And indeed, I believe these scriptures will give us even greater confidence in the mighty God that we serve. Oh, the one that is in charge of the affairs of this world. And I thank God he has been emphasizing that point to me. And it just seems like every time I turn around, I get a verse that is in that, you know, in that vein. But praise the Lord. Let's go here tonight to Isaiah and chapter 46. Praise the Lord. Chapter 46 of Isaiah. And let's start with verse 9 here. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 9, Isaiah 46, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10 tells us, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Oh, our mighty God, who has seen it all and knows it all, the end from the beginning. He knows it all. And oh, praise the Lord. Yes, declaring the end from the beginning. He knew it in the beginning. He saw us way back then. Praise the Lord, and he knew what we would be going through, even right now. Praise the Lord. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, and just listen to this a minute, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Well, praise the Lord. That's strength, isn't it? Oh, that's very positive. That's very declarative. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Oh, what an amazing God we serve, and there is none to compare to him. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to catch that verse that I used a couple weeks ago here from Proverbs 21st chapter. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. It says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We serve the mighty God. And I love it. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do. But I thank God there is one to whom we can appeal. And he is a mighty God. Amen. He is the mighty God. And there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, what an attorney we have. What a God we have. What a go-between. Oh, it's an amazing thing that we can call upon such a mighty God. And oh, yes, with these thoughts in mind, let's just turn to Psalms, the 8th chapter here for a moment. Praise the Lord. Oh, our wonderful God. We are so blessed to know him. And here in Psalms 8, it begins by saying in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And even out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength. Praise the Lord. Oh, with the strength of the Lord, we can put the enemy to flight. Oh, yes, he has given his church power to prevail against all that would come against us. Praise the Lord. When our lives are right in the sight of God, and we're living, oh, under his wing. Praise the Lord. There is nothing that we cannot do by the strength of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for our God. And we serve this mighty God. And he is our help. And he is our strength. And he knows how to help us, regardless of the circumstances. Amen. Oh, yes. Every adventure, every enemy, amen, that it would be stilled, that it would be stopped. And then here the psalm goes on, verse 3, and this is the Psalm of David. It says in verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Praise the Lord. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh, there is none to compare to our God, our Savior. And I'm so glad that at this moment, oh, that we can acknowledge him, that we can bow our knee to him now, that we can serve him now. Oh, yes, that we can revere him now. Amen. Because, oh, yes, that question that verse 4 asks, and I think it quite often, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, yes. our great and mighty God, whose counsel is going to stand regardless of the whims of man, who is going to do all his pleasure regardless of what man may be trying to do. Praise the Lord, such a great one, but yet he is mindful of us. He cares for us. In fact, he loved us so much that he visited us. Praise the Lord, he came to this world as a son of man, as a son of God, and he came to save us, to redeem us, to make us his own, to make us his children. And what a gift we've been given. Oh, praise the Lord. It took the shedding of his blood on the cross. But he was willing to do it because he knew that he was buying his children. He was redeeming his children. He was purchasing his children. Praise the Lord. And what a gift we have been given. And again, how we can ask, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ came to this earth. And he came as a lowly servant. He came with humility. They didn't even recognize him. They didn't even know. He was scorned. He was ridiculed. He was mocked and he was crucified. Yes, and he was made lower than the angels. He could have come as an angel. He could have come as a king. He could have come as a person of great importance. But he came as a man unrecognized, and again, as a servant with the intention to save us, which would mean the shedding of his blood. And praise the Lord, what a gift we have been given. Oh, one that would be obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. And praise the Lord, wherefore God hath given him a name that is highly exalted, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's our wonderful God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have you turn with me now to a portion of Scripture back in the Old Testament. And I'm going to 1 Kings here. Praise our God. And here, let's consider some of this that is written here in 1 Kings. Amen. Praise the Lord. In this chapter, we have some understanding that it isn't really given us in Chronicles. But at the end of Solomon's life, we see that there was a great problem. And the problem was that Solomon had loved many strange women. And in fact, there were so many of them that, you know, in total, it says there were 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And if that wasn't enough of a burden, the truth of the matter is that those wives turned away his heart from God. And here we have a man that was extremely blessed of God, given wisdom, given strength, given a kingdom that extended greatly, and all the other kings came to see him and to hear of his wisdom and to see of his greatness. But in spite of all of that, it tells us in verse 4 here in 1 Kings 11, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." It tells us in verse 5, "So For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 7 here tells us, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Verse 9 tells us, and the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 11 tells us, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Okay, with that thought, I'd like to turn over to 2 Chronicles here a moment. And I think I will be going back to this chapter in 1 Kings. But let's just look here at 2 Chronicles here a moment, for a little bit here. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Praise the Lord. And here we have, we just read of the happenstances here in the late life of Solomon and these strange wives that he had taken, and how he allowed them to go after their idols, and he even built for them places for them to offer sacrifices unto their gods. And his heart was also taken in that manner. Well, after his death, we know that his son Rehoboam became king of Israel. And it's interesting what happened here. And you know, there's a point that the Lord showed me a few weeks ago, and it's really kind of stayed with me. So for whatever reasons, I'm bringing it out here tonight. But let's just look at this chapter, chapter 10 here in 2 Chronicles. And as we know, as I just said, Solomon has slept with his fathers, as the chapter before it ends, and he was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So it tells us in the first verse here, chapter 10, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whether he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And there's a bit of intrigue here, and I intend to explain it a little bit more. But first of all, let's get on with this story here. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying... So, yeah, do note that name, Jeroboam, because it's very significant here. And okay, here is all Israel gathered unto Rehoboam. And it's like, you know, he's going to be crowned at this moment. And you know, the kingdom acknowledged to him. But here they come to him. And they have a grievance. And they have a request here. It tells us in verse 4. Thy father made our yoke grievous now. Therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. So, okay, the people come to Rehoboam, and they have this request. And you know, it's simple. It's to the point. You know, their yoke, the burden under Solomon had been grievous, they say. And so they're asking for a little let up here, and that that heavy yoke that had been put upon them would be lessened. And they assure Rehoboam, you do this, and we will serve thee. And so, okay, he's not going to say, sure, that sounds good. But no, he gives him time, and gives himself time. So he says, verse 5, and he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. So now he's going to listen. He's going to listen to some counsel. Verse 6 tells us, and King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And this is what the old man said to Rehoboam. Verse 7, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. And that's simple to the point. Just be nice. You know, treat them with respect, with kind words. Be gentle to them. Be kind. Not so hard, is it? But it tells us in verse 8, but he forsook the counsel which the old man gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, okay, what advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. So he's asking the young men, you know, their advice at this moment. Verse 10 tells us, and the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them. Oh, this is their advice. My little fingers shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. And it tells us in verse 13, and the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. Oh my, sounds like Pharaoh to me. And so verse 15 tells us, so the king hearkened not unto the people. But I want you to notice the reason behind it. You know, there's always more to it. Again, you know, God's counsel, God's will, God's pleasure is what matters. And, you know, it's strange. You would think that Rehoboam would have wanted favor of the people and would have, you know, taken the advice of the young men and, you know, made the burden lighter. But instead, he spoke roughly, and he spoke, you know, very meanly, you could say. And, you know, he threatened to make their yoke very heavy, to add to what his father had added, or his father had used. And, you know, it didn't go over. His words did not go over. I don't think anybody wants to hear, you know, your taxes were heavy in the last administration, and I'm going to make them heavier. Oh my, the burdens of life are plenty heavy as they are. Who wants them heavier, may I ask? But it's interesting. Because, yes, as verse 15 again, it tells us, so the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. But King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And we know after that point, it was a split kingdom. The 10 northern tribes went to Jeroboam, and the 2 southern tribes were left under Rehoboam. It was a split kingdom from that moment on. It was never the same as it was under Solomon in all his glory. But oh my, there was a reason. And it tells us in that 15th verse that we just read that that cause was of God. It was God that caused the kingdom to split. And I think this is something to consider, this time period that we live in. And honestly, I do not know what is going to happen in this land. Oh, there are all kinds of possibilities, obviously. And I'm not going to make any predictions. All I know is that we need God. I know that the people need to repent, that there needs to be a return to God like never before. And those sins, oh, that have become so blatant, need to be repented of. The hearts need to turn to God. And I know that we serve a faithful God who hears prayer, who answers, oh, who has great mercy when people will bow their knees and turn their hearts again to the living God. Even so much that we see what happened in the time of Jonah, there with the Ninevites, oh, under the very strong hand of the Assyrians, who were known for their cruelty, oh, and their mean, nasty ways. But at the preaching of Jonah, even the king got down in his sackcloth and in ashes and began to repent. He began to turn his heart over to the Lord. Oh, yes, repent of all the evil that he had committed and allowed the people to commit. He repented of his sins. And what a story, because God heard his prayer, his cry, his repentance, and the people's repentance. Oh, as they fasted, as they prayed, and cried out to God for mercy, and repented of the evil that they had done. Oh, it is so necessary in these times that we live right now. There's so many evils in this land, and the list is so long, and yet, oh, people do not even know what sin is. People live in fornication and adultery and think nothing of it. People drink and are drunken and think nothing of it. Oh, there are abortions committed, and it seems that many people think nothing of it. And oh yes, even homosexuality has been embraced and endorsed and made, oh yes, legal to marry in sodomy. Oh yes, for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. Just plainly said here. Oh, I believe there are things that need to be repented of. But oh yes, we see what sin had wrought there in the kingdom of Israel and how God did not tolerate it. And yes, for the cause of the departure from the living God, that kingdom was split. And the answer that Rehoboam gave came out because that cause was of God. God was going to split the kingdom. And so it is, because our God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just would like to go back here to 1 Kings a moment here to that 11th chapter, because we read of Solomon in his later life. And as we look into this chapter a little bit more, I'm going to go to verse 28 at this point here in 1 Kings chapter 11. So we get the background for Jeroboam here. And it tells us here, as we look at this scripture here, verse 28 here, "And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph." Oh, a very capable man, obviously. And, you know, very valuable, very brave, very courageous. So Solomon had noted how industrious he was and how capable he was and how brave he was. So he was put over the house of Joseph. But it goes on to tell us in verse 29, "And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field." Okay, here's Jeroboam and Ahijah the prophet, and it's Jeroboam who is wearing this new garment. And here you have in a field these two men, Jeroboam and Ahijah the Shilonite. Ahijah is the prophet of the Lord. And it tells us in verse 30, "And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. I mean, what a shocker. The new garment that Jeroboam was wearing is suddenly rent into 12 pieces. But, oh, there's a reason for it. It's symbolic of what is going to take place. Verse 31, "And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." And here's the reason, as we read earlier, but here it is again brought out. Verse 33, "Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgment as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of thy hand, out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David, my servant, may have a light alway before me in Jerusalem, the city which I've chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David. And I will give Israel unto thee, and I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. And oh my, what words these were. These were given. And you know, obviously, Solomon got wind of this. Tells us in verse 40, Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Okay, and the rest of the Acts of Solomon, and all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years, and Solomon slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. But here we see the explanation how it was, why God split that kingdom. And again, I'm not even sure why the Lord would have me to go there and why he has emphasized this point. I would like to see good things come out of America. I have hope in my heart that God will have mercy. But oh my, we don't know, because God is omnipotent. Oh yes, there is none like our God, and his counsel will stand. And he will do all his pleasure. So we see what happened in Israel. Oh, the kingdom wasn't even all that old. You know, we'd had those three kings, Saul and David and Solomon, and already here we have, you know, the fourth king and a split. And it never recovered. It never came back. It was split until the end of it all. The Babylonians carried away the southern kingdom, and before that time, the Assyrians had taken away the 10 northern kingdoms. But all because God ordained it, God spoke it, and that was his will. But oh my, it's a wonderful thing when people will take heed to the will of God and will listen to the counsel of God. And will rend their hearts and get right with God. Oh, it's such an important thing. We do indeed serve such a mighty God. And how necessary it is that we would bend our knee to him while we have a little time. Oh, yes, we're all going to stand before him and give an account of the deeds that we have done in our lifetime, in our flesh. And how we need, oh yes, oh, to make our way right in the sight of God, to repent and turn everything over to God. Amen. Oh my. Let's go to Isaiah right now. Isaiah chapter 43. Praise the Lord. This chapter 2 has been heavy on me, and I thought I was going to teach it last week, but God gave me something else. But here it is. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want you to note a certain portion of it right now. Let's start with verse 7 here. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. Oh my, you know, the great jury. Oh, when I'll stand before God. People, you know, may have excuses that they have given. I'm sure they do in their hearts at this moment. But oh my, when it comes to that grand jury, when I'll stand before the living God, and they might try to bring forth their witnesses, oh, there is no way that anyone will be able to stand against God, against His authority, oh, against His might, against His power. He has seen it all. He has witnessed it all. There is nothing that has been hidden from Him. It is recorded, and God will know, and there is no escape. You can't try to pretend when you're in the sight of God, when you're standing before Him. You can't try to cover yourself with some kind of garment, some kind of spider's web, or, you know, just to cover your lies and all the things that you have done that are untrue and your perverseness and wickedness. There'll be no way in that grand jury. And oh my, it goes on to say in verse 10 here in Isaiah 43, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Oh, the mighty God that we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. He only is God. And praise the Lord, what a privilege it is to recognize Him. So many didn't get it when Jesus walked this earth. Oh, yes, they saw Him as the son of Joseph. And they didn't get it at all, who He was. But oh, here He was, walking those dusty roads, walking by the seaside, oh, doing all manners of miracles and casting out devils and, oh my, teaching like none other had ever taught before. But there He was. He was God robed in flesh. Oh, He was the arm of God extended. Oh, yes, He came to this earth as a man. And there He was. Oh, yes, to save us from our sin. And oh, yes, if you are one that can recognize Him, what a privilege it is. And here it is to this very moment. Oh yes, that need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior. Oh yes, that need to bow our knee to Him right now. Oh yes, to surrender our hearts, our will, our emotions to God. Oh yes, and realize it was Jesus Christ who came to this earth to bring us to God. Oh yes, to bring us back so that we could have fellowship with Almighty God. And there was none other that could do that. There was no other way. As Jesus declared that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Amen. Praise our God. But He said in verse 11 here, Isaiah 43, "I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you." Oh yes, God could work with those people. Oh, when they didn't embrace heathenism, when they weren't worshiping other gods, when they weren't bowing the knee to idols and doing all those abominations of the heathen people. Oh, yes, they could be acknowledged then. Oh, they could see and understand then. So He says, "I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. And let's note this very last portion of this 13th verse. I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, he's saying, I will work, and who will stop it? Oh, praise the Lord. There is none that are going to stop Almighty God. Oh, his word is going to go forth. Oh, yes, to do his work, as it tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Praise the Lord. That's the voice of God that goes forth out of his mouth. Oh, yes, and it's not going to return to him empty. It's not going to return to him void, but it is going to accomplish that which God Almighty pleases, and it is going to prosper in the thing whereto it was sent. Amen. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it is such a privilege to serve him. And again, that question, oh, with such a mighty one. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh, praise the Lord. What a question. But oh, what a gift we've been given if we can, oh, see our need to turn our lives over to God. Oh, yes. What a privilege it is if we can just see. Oh, yes, and understand and give heed while we still yet had that moment to give heed. Oh, my, you know, we talked about that great court. And I know it's described in Revelation, that first chapter. Oh, yes, and oh, how it's going to be as all stand before Almighty God and give an account. It tells us in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. And all, of course, this was given to John, who was on the Isle of Patmos. Yes, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner. He was sent to Patmos. Oh, yes, and to be isolated. But praise the Lord. Oh, God came to him. God gave him this vision. And it tells us in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded with a paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars of the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that's how the book of Revelation was given. But oh, that vision, oh, as God, oh, showed himself to John on that isle. Oh, my, and it was such a sight. Oh, yes, that he bowed down, he fell at his feet as dead. And oh my, that authority, that power, that might in the Almighty God. There is going to be no denying of that when we stand before him. Oh yes, when we bow our knees before Almighty God. Oh yes, as it tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Oh, such a moment. Such a moment. But again, oh, that question. While we have life, while we have breath, while we have the ability to turn our hearts over to the Lord, oh, and realize his greatness, his magnitude, his power, oh, yes, his authority. We have these moments to turn our lives over to the living God. And praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when our hearts are given over to God. Because he is so gracious and he is so kind, and he gives to his people a strength that we could never have of our own ability or might. Oh, praise the Lord. And we can know if we belong to the Lord, as it tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he had called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there is no opposition against the Almighty God. Oh, he is the final authority. And oh, there is no one that can withstand his power and his might and his ability. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Oh, if we belong to him, oh, we know that in spite of what seems to be happening on the surface, and you know how the circumstances of life, and life gets funny. Oh my, things happen. I think we all know what it's like to have trials and tests. But then, you know, what would we have to conquer? How could we overcome? What would we have to overcome if, you know, there weren't trials in this life, if there weren't trouble, if there wasn't persecution? Oh, praise the Lord. No, Lord has given us His Spirit so that we might overcome. Oh yes, He died for us. He shed His blood that we might overcome, that we might be victorious. Oh yes, and oh yes, we might gain advantage over the foes of this world, over the enemy, over the devil. Oh yes, and all His cohorts. Praise the Lord. And we know if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. No one. Amen. And it tells us in verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh, that inheritance. Oh, that, oh, He has, He has turned, He has predestined, you could say, for His children. Oh yes, an eternal inheritance that's reserved in the heavens for the people of God. Oh, the wonder of it, you know, an inheritance, oh, that's, you know, not going to be here one moment and then vanish away. But oh my, it's an inheritance that is incorruptible and it's undefiled. And it's an inheritance that fades not away. And praise the Lord, it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, as it tells us in 1 Peter. Yes, praise our God. It goes on to tell us here in Romans 8, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ at that place of authority. Praise the Lord who maketh intercession for us. And oh, it goes on to describe, oh, the great safety, oh, that we have in the Lord, the great refuge we have in our Savior. It says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, the world's ways, the world's opinion. And of course, that is quoted from Psalms 44, verse 22. But oh my, we're not generally recognized as the children of God. People don't know who we are. But praise the Lord gives His children great authority and strength in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, in spite of the fact that we may be counted as sheep for the slaughter in their eyes. Oh, we can have great privileges in our God. In fact, it tells us in verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, life might be hard. There are trials. There are tests. There are times of testing and in things we don't understand, confusion. It may be health. It may be sickness. Maybe even death. But, oh, my, we know that if we have God, He is going to be with us and He is going to work out all the little things that try to weave themselves in and, oh, cause us trouble and distress and pain and suffering and confusion. Oh, we know that God knows how to turn it all around and make all of that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Praise our God. Yes, Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And he ends this chapter, Paul, in verse 38, by saying, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. That solid rock, that anchor of our soul, oh, that strength, that power, that one, oh, they may try, oh, whatever they want to try. But oh my, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Be it tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril or sword. Oh, their opinions and everything else. Oh, praise the Lord. It is so true. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, if we could just, oh, yes, continue that walk with the Lord. Oh, continue, yes, to go forward and believe God against odds, against the opposition, against the trouble, against the pain, against the suffering. Oh, my, if we could just go forward and believe God, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because there is nothing, and Paul was so persuaded, oh, there is nothing, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what an anchor we have, an anchor of the soul. Oh, of such a firmness, such a strength that our God gives us. And we know that his power stands. Oh, his might stands. And what he has declared, it stands. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Oh, yes, that by two immutable things, this is verse 18 in Hebrews 6, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's our God. And oh my, his word, oh, is so positive. Oh yes, that God who was willing to show his authority and, you know, affirm his word with a strength. It tells us that he affirmed it with, you know, by swearing by himself, because he could, you know, there was not greater that he could swear by. But oh yes, it was affirmed that by two immutable things, something that cannot be changed. Immutable means something that cannot be changed or be varied. Praise the Lord. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Oh, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus entered within the veil. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because that veil had before separated us from entering into the place of God's presence. Oh, yes, it wasn't possible until, oh, yes, that veil was rent. Oh, while Jesus was dying on that cross. But praise the Lord. Oh, what was happening at that point? Oh, it was making us. Oh, it was giving us that ability to enter in to that place where God is, to have access to God Almighty, to have access to the throne. Oh, the place where God is, His throne of grace, that we might come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. The mighty one who does everything. Oh, yes. Oh, knowing the end from the beginning. Oh, the one who is not confused. The one, oh, yes, who doesn't have to pause and wonder. The one who knew the end from the beginning. Oh, yes. The one who lives in eternity. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a faithful God we serve. And oh, yes. Again, as the psalmist asked, oh yes, there back in Psalms 8 again, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou would visit him? Oh, praise the Lord, our gracious God who saw us from the cross, who saw us from the beginning, who ordained us. Oh, yes, who willed us. Oh, praise the Lord, who predestinated us. Oh, that one who saw us. Oh, our mighty God, who was made a little lower than the angels, who came to this earth to seek and to save those which were lost. Oh, praise the Lord, and then to pour out His Spirit upon us. Oh, yes, that we might be recipients of His Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Almighty God. Oh, coming to enter into a man, an individual, a person, a human being. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad the Lord saw us. And He ordained us and He called us. Oh, praise the Lord. And here we are tonight. Oh, we don't know what opposition we may face. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. But we know that we can be more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Praise the Lord. And by His grace and His mercy, we can overcome. Oh, yes. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. Oh, what a great God we serve. What a mighty God. And He is in charge. His will be done. His counsel shall stand. And He will do His pleasure. Praise the Lord. As Isaiah 46:10 declares. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We worship you, Lord. Oh, what a privilege to worship you, Lord. Oh, God, what a privilege to stand in thy presence and to know thee, Lord. Oh, God, what a privilege, oh, God, to bow the knee to you now, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would work. Encourage, that you'd strengthen, oh God, that you'd pour out of your Spirit. Oh God, I pray if there be any that have not yet repented, that they would turn their lives to thee right now. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, I pray, oh God, that there would be a turning, oh God, us of the soul, the heart, the mind, all over to thee. In Jesus' name, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books and turn to number 185. We're going to sing, My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. Number 185. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. The rivers are His, the mountains are His, and the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. The rivers are His, the mountains are His, and the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing that He cannot do. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.